Hallelujah. Welcome to the 2021 Christmas message. Praise the Lord. It don't seem like it, does it? Don't seem like a whole year has passed by. And thinking this morning, this is my 71st Christmas. It don't seem like it. But I've enjoyed every one of them, praise God. And hopefully I got many more to go. Hopefully you do, praise God. Well, we're going to talk today about a gift that comes from the heart. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the honor and privilege we have of coming before your throne this morning. Lord, your heart is so full of goodness and mercy and grace. Your heart is open. Your arms are wide open, saying, come on in, my children, and receive from me. So, Father, today, with joyful hearts, we come before your throne and are seated at the table where you have the living word spread, the bread of life. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of receiving your living word. We know not only that it blesses us, but it blesses you so much when we receive the gift from your heart to ours. Lord, we thank you that this living word will continue to bear fruit and bring forth life for many, many, many years to come, especially as we share it with others. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, a gift that comes from the heart. A real gift comes from the heart and is given in love without expecting anything in return. You know, if it's a gift, a real gift, when it's given, there are no strings attached. There's nothing, you're not expecting anything in return. If you expect something in return, then it's really not a gift. You are exchanging something, expecting something better than what you gave. Most of the time, isn't that the way we are? It's so sad that that's what Christmas has become. Not only in the heart of those who do not know Jesus, but even in the hearts of the people. We start way back in October, and I'm not on my soapbox. It does bother me. We start way back in October thinking about how much we're going to spend and how much we're going to get back and getting the best value and all of that. And I guess some of that's important to a degree. But we get so wrapped up in it, by the time Christmas comes, we forgot what Christmas is all about. You know, Christmas is a heart condition. It's a heart condition between you and the Father. It's a heart condition between you and your family and your loved ones. And even those you do not know, it's a heart condition. I'd like for you to go back in your mind a little bit right now with me and go back to the first Christmas. Now, automatically, you thought of a babe in a manger, didn't you? That's not the first Christmas. That's not the Christmas that's in God's heart. You got to go back beyond the manger. You got to go back beyond when time was created. You got to go back beyond that. You got to go back beyond when there was no time, just eternity with heaven and all of that. You got to go back beyond that in order to find the heart of Christmas. You got to go back to in the beginning before all time. That's the heart of Christmas. Christmas was created in God's heart before anything existed. Anything at all existed in time or even in eternity. It's way back before the angels existed, way back before there was anything other than it was just God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and he wasn't called Jesus at that time yet, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and eternity. That's all that existed. The word tells us that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, doesn't it? It was in God's heart to give. Why? Because God is love. So he is, that's all he thinks about is love flowing out to others. I know that that's why he started creation in heaven, and that's why he started time and with us in it. He wanted to give so much. He wanted to give to someone just like himself. That's why in Genesis 1, we see where God told The Father told the Son and the Holy Spirit, let us go and make someone just like ourselves. Us make someone just like ourselves. God wanted so bad, he wants it so deeply entrenched in who he is to give. He lives to flow out to others. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Isn't Christmas love? Isn't that what it's about? It's not so much in what I get. It's even more in what I give, especially to the Father. You know, I love Christmas, I always have. But by the time Christmas rolls around, it's so wrapped up, I don't participate in the commercial end of it very much. But it's so wrapped up in the pressures and the turmoils and all the other stuff that I try to protect that in my heart. Because I know it's so special. Christmas is more than a gift to one another. It's so much more than that. But really, Christmas is not just a season or even a day. As a matter of fact, Jesus was not born on December 25th. You go back, they've researched all that. They can't get the correct date. But it was sometime in the summer or sometime in that area where they gauged that by the shepherds being in the field, what the shepherds were doing, and the time when the taxes were, all of that. They look at all of that time frame, and they can tell you it wasn't December 25th. It's just a day that we celebrate. But honestly, Christmas, the heart of Christmas, should be 24/7, 365 and a quarter for all of your life. I'm talking about the heart of Christmas, not the date, not the tree and all of that other stuff. I'm talking about the heart, the center, the nucleus of what Christmas is. And that's what God is. He's that way. His days are the same. He's the same yesterday and forever. He is the same. He's constantly gift, 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 gift. But the Word says, as he is, so are we in this world. Doesn't it say that? It says that. That's supposed to be the attitude of the church. It's supposed to be the attitude of his children. Now, we don't expect the world to be that way. Those that don't know Jesus are going to be wrapped up like they are. They're going to move Christmas to January 1st. So they got the whole year before Christmas comes. I hope they don't ever do that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the commercial end of it. I'm talking about real Christmas. So that's why I thought we'd talk about a gift that comes from the heart. A real gift comes from the heart and is given in love without expecting anything in return, no strings attached. If something is expected in return, the gift is no longer a gift. A real gift costs the giver something and is a blessing to the receiver. It costs you something because you are sharing your life, your heart, your existence, the things that you have with someone else. It's a gift not for you, it's a gift for them. A real gift comes from the heart, not the purse or wallet, and has nothing to do with financial value to the giver or to the receiver. The love in which it is given from the heart becomes its real value. The real value comes from the heart gift. It could be a car, a house, or whatever, but it can simply be a cookie. It can be something that is homemade. I've got a bunch of gifts at home that my family gave me over the years that mean nothing to nobody but me. One's a rock about that size. A rock. Has no value to anybody. It's not gold, it's not silver, it's not platinum. I don't know what it is. It's a rock, okay? And one of my children wrote on there, a house built upon a rock, you know, and put the scripture on there and gave it to me. I think it was Father's Day, I believe. But whatever the time of the year doesn't matter, or what the date was doesn't matter. It meant something to me, okay? I've got several gifts like that that mean nothing to nobody except for me because it's a heart gift. Even if it wasn't given by the heart, I received it from the heart. So I have to receive the gift given, whether it's given with that purpose or not. That's my job. Love is involved. A real gift comes from the heart, not the purse or wallet, and I need to remember that. But it's so hard to do in the system and the world we live in today. We run out and try to outdo each other, and we get mad if our gift is of equal value to what we received. I might have given an expensive gift to someone and get just a little thing that, whatever it is, but that's not what I need, that's not how I need to be. I need to receive not the value commercially, but the heart value in the item, which a lot of times is of great value beyond the financial end of that gift. The love in which it is given from the heart becomes its real value. I had an experience like that when I was a child. I don't know how old I was. I was little and I had a younger brother. But my stepdad had a stroke. And we didn't have a lot of money at that time to begin with. But when he had a stroke, that took care of all the income in the house. We had about an acre garden, which I was old enough to help in. We had that. We had some chickens, probably 20, and we had a pig. So that was what we ate. You know, that was our food. There's no income. The only income that came into the house was a neighbor down the street about a block away. He was a widower. And because he knew Mom needed money, he wound up allowing Mom to do his laundry, to iron, and to take care of that. And my brother and I would carry it down the street, handle, because I couldn't do it by myself. We were too little. But that year, I don't remember how close to Christmas it was, but my mom came in, and my brother and I, he's in heaven now, praise God, but not that he, praise God that he died, but praise God he's in heaven, because I know that. But anyways, we were both little, like I said. Mom came in and she said, "I'm sorry to tell you, boys, but we're not going to have any Christmas gifts this year because we don't have the money." And, you know, we didn't understand, my brother and I, but that wasn't the end of our Christmas. My brother and I got, and I don't know what went through Mom's heart, because Christmas was special to her. It really was, and she wanted to do her best with it. But for her to wrestle with that and then come in and then tell us that was just, I can't imagine the hurt that was in her because of that. But I was not thinking of that. But my brother and I got together, and we decided we was going to have Christmas anyways. So we got all of our little toys out, our favorite toys. One was a little old 25-cent pickup that I had that I really liked. And he had some things, and we wrapped them up in old newspaper and put them under the tree. We did have a tree because it was cut down. We did that. And we get Mom something, and we just, no money spent. It was just a real, genuine exchange. Do you know, that tears me up every time I think about it to this day? Because it was a heart gift. It was a gift that come from my heart to my brother and my heart to my mom and my brother's heart to me. You know, it's so special. It has such a value to me beyond anything that anybody could have bought me at that time. That's the real heart beyond Christmas, before Christmas. To the giver, the most rewarding part of the gift is not the planning, the making, or the purchase of the gift. But it is in the giving from the heart and how that gift is received by the receiver. The desire of the giver is the joy and blessing of the receiver. When the receiver receives the gift from the giver, they are receiving the heart of the giver. I'm going to read that again. There's a lot of in there. Because I want it to be in our mind and heart as we go through this Christmas season. To the giver, the person who is giving, to the giver, the most rewarding part of the gift is not the planning, the making, or the purchase of the gift, but it is in the giving from the heart and how that gift is received by the receiver. The desire of the giver is the joy and the blessing of the receiver. When the receiver receives the gift from the giver, they receive the heart of the giver. The greatest gift that we can give someone comes from the heart. There are so many gifts that only we can give from the heart, and that comes from the person themselves. But these kind of gifts come every day. My love is one of them. That is of high value. Your love gift to me is of high value. My trust. Only I can grant you my trust. And if I give you and grant you my trust, I've given you something of great value. And the same when you grant me your trust. My honor. Not my honor to me, but my honor I bestow upon you. That has a high value. When I bring honor to you and I speak that honor over you and I honor you in some way, whether you deserve that honor or not, I'm giving you honor. That is a great gift. But one of the top gifts is forgiveness. Forgive. Forgive. When I forgive, I'm giving. I'm giving you my trust. I'm giving you my heart. I'm forgiving. And in the same way, it's a two-way street. I ask forgiveness. My respect. That is a gift if I respect you. Whether you deserve that respect or not, I respect you. I grant you that respect. My smile, my touch, my encouragement. We all need to be encouragers of one another. That's part of the love walk. My prayers, my kind words instead of the words I want to speak. Those are all gifts that only that person can give to another. No one can give that up except the person themselves. A gift given from the heart but not received in the manner and purpose given loses its value both to the receiver and to the giver. A gift given from the heart but not received in the manner and the purpose given loses its value, because it is the value of the giving and receiving that's high. But when it's not received, it loses its value to the person you're giving it to and to you yourself. You give somebody something and they say, oh, thank you, and throw it over in the corner. You come back a week later, it's still right where it was. Still not open. Well, there's no value in that. There's been no response. There's no heart exchange. So it loses its value. A true Christian should be living the true heart of Christmas 24/7, 365 and a quarter, or continuously. What can we give God? He doesn't need anything, does he? Yes, he does. He needs our heart. He needs our love. He needs our respect. He needs our honor. He needs us. The gift that we give God should have a value to God and come from the heart and cost us something. There was I didn't look it up, I didn't have time, but there's this, I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about. The time when David went out to buy a field from a vineyard or whatever it was, some kind of a field from this guy that owned it. The threshing floor. He went out to buy that because that was where the temple was supposed to be, if I'm correct. And the guy was going to just give it to David because he's king, you know. And David said, no, I will never give God anything that doesn't cost me something. So he paid for the threshing floor. And that should be our heart. We should always look, not just because he's God and doesn't need anything, but what can I give God? All of my life, every day of my life. It's got to be those things I listed, but my heart is number one. My time, my respect, my honor, placing him in high reverence. Now, that's something that I can give God. Another thing you can give God is to love others, because he flows through you to others. When you love others the way you're supposed to, when you don't want to, when you give them the gift of your love, it comes from the heart of the Father. That is what is allowing you to love the unlovable. It's what's allowing the Father by his Spirit to flow through your spirit to that person. It brings God great joy. That's a gift that only you can give him. Nobody else can give that gift to God. You give it when you love that other person that's not lovable. That's something that you can give him and brings him great joy. Spending time in his word, fellowshipping with him in his word, that gives God great joy. You fall asleep while you're reading it. So what? Your spirit didn't fall asleep. Your spirit is still communing with God, and you made the decision to do so. It's a gift of great value to the Father. These are things we can give God. God desires our heart, a gift of ourself, the heart gift. The gift of self to God is of great value because we choose to do it. We choose to do it instead of something else. That's of great value. We're going to go through a list of some of the gifts that God gave us. The Bible's full of them. I spent all day yesterday going through the Bible looking for gifts that God gave us. I came up with 23, but I wasn't done. It was late and I had to quit. So I didn't finish this. But I got scriptures for each one of these, but I can't get through them. So I'm going to go as far as I can, and then I'm going to just read the rest of them that I have. But do a search sometimes of how much God has given us. And it flows all the time, and these gifts are not given just to me. They're given to whosoever will. They're the open heart of God giving gifts to man, whether they receive them or not. All of these gifts are laid up and stored for you. They're there. They're available to you. Anyone, anywhere, anytime, no matter who they are, no matter how far away from God they think they are, these gifts are laying there ready to be received. So let's go through some of these. The gifts of God to us. We're going to look at first at John 1:16. For I love this scripture. For John 1:16, for out of his fullness abundance we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace upon another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. I love that. I get this image of this big pile and God still adding to it. Gift, heaped upon gift, heaped upon gift. That's God's heart. Ephesians 2:4. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Get that if you don't get anything else. Get that. Because that's the heart of God that existed way back there in the beginning before all time. That's his heart, and it never changes. That's the heart that he has toward the sinner. That's the heart that he has toward the person that's in fear, worry, and depression. That's the heart to the person that feels like they're on their last leg. That's the heart that God has to the hopeless. We talked about hope for the hopeless four messages in a row. That's his heart. That's his heart. And he's not holding it back. See, we don't receive, we don't position ourselves to receive this heart. And that's not God's fault. See, he gave us free choice. And if we don't choose to receive what he gave, he can't go any further. He's not going to make us do this. He wants to give it unconditionally to you. Whatever you've done wrong, he even takes care of that so that you can receive. That's what that cross was all about. That's what those nails went into Jesus' hands for. That's why the blood was shed, so that this heart could get to us. He's not holding anything back. The only thing lacking is us. We don't come. And when we come, we leave. Come and stay. Come and stay. Just immerse yourself in the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of, this is why he did it, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Real love has to be satisfied. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive. Together in fellowship and in union with Christ, he gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. He did that. That's what he did for everyone, past, present, and future. He did that. He wants to take your worry. He wants to take your fear. He wants to take your hurt. He wants to take your hopelessness. He wants to take your anger and your all those things that you have fought all your life for. He wants to take your depression. He wants to take that off of you and give you hope, give you peace, give you joy. But you're involved in that, and if you don't come, you can't receive. And if you come and run away, he can't give it to you. Even though it's there, it's a gift piled up and heaped upon gift, gift upon gift. There is really no reason not to come. It don't exist. And what you've done and what you are afraid of and who you think you are and all your past has nothing to do, has absolutely nothing to do with the gift that God's given you. He takes care of that. He takes care of that. Satan wants you to live there because as long as you do, you can't receive. But you bring all of that, there's an old song, old hymn, Just As I Am. That is so relevant to what we're talking about. Just as I am, I come. That's the way you come. And when you come, lay it all down. I don't know how, just like that. How do you drop something? You just drop it. And then you receive what Jesus has given you. And you, that's what you have now. That's what you take. That's where your life, that's where your hope is. Glory to God. That's what that does. He gave us the gift of life itself, or all creation. The only reason creation exists is because he wants to give it to us. That is just so mind-blowing for me. Everything that exists, he gave to man and for man. John 1:3, all things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So that settles it. He made it all. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you want light, revelation, the flow of the Spirit in your life, All that God has, it can only come from Him. It can't come from anywhere else. That's one of the gifts that God gave us. Then He gave us the very awesome gift of choice. Most people don't like the gift of choice because they got to make a decision. And sometimes those decisions are wrong. And you live for years beating yourself to pieces with worry, fear, anger, depression on choices that you made. You're not supposed to do that. The same way you made the wrong choice, you can make the right choice. Just that quick. In your now moment, you can choose a now decision that will change all of that and change your future. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth, or all creation, as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, do what? Choose life. Are you choosing life? Or are you choosing fear, worry, anger, depression, and all these other things? What are you choosing? He laid it out there. And whatever is functional, I know it's hard to hear it, but whatever is functioning in your life, you are involved there. And you are also involved in the freedom that God has given. You're involved in receiving. You're involved in going to Him. You're involved in laying it down. You're involved in getting into the Word and receiving what He's done. You're involved in that. He's went basically as far as He can go without you, without me. All of us have to make those decisions. He gave us life. So choose it. And when you choose it, it doesn't mean, okay, I choose life and continue like you were. It means I choose life and now I'm going with God. No matter what's back here, it's in the rock of time. I'm not going back there. I'm going this way. And when it tries to come up again, you turn right back and go right back with God. You do warfare with that. And you do it with the Word. God will back it. He will strengthen you. He will surround you with godly counsel. He will keep you as long as you make those choices. If you're choosing the other one, He can't help you much there, but try to encourage you to come back. Okay, so choose life that both you and your descendants. You want to take care of your kids and your descendants for eons in the future? You choose life. Because your choice is involved in your descendants. They have to make their own too. But if you've made your choice and you're walking with God, then there's an anointing that goes forth over your children. That God, it says His righteousness is to His children's children. You can set a hedge about your family by what you do. That is so awesome. God's not just thinking about you. He's thinking about all those yet to come. And you're involved in what they do and what they become. You know, we always affect others whether we think we do or not. So is that you may live, you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. David said, my times are in your hands. That's what he's saying. He is the length of our days. You want to shorten your life? Continue in that corruption and that sin. That'll shorten your life. It'll shorten your life and it'll bring sickness, disease, and all those other things through your way. And you'll have problem. You'll blame God for it. He's not involved in that. He didn't do it. Satan did it. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He brought life. That's all God is capable of. He brings life. He brings hope. He brings joy. He brings peace. There is one that brings the others. And it's not God. God did not put us in that hole. He made the way out. He gave us the freedom. Hallelujah. That for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. This is all gift. You're not earning it. You're not qualifying it for it. He qualifies you if you come. He makes it right for you. So don't let your qualifications keep you away. None of us qualified for this. No one that ever lived has qualified for this. No one. Where it says all have sinned and come short. Yes, we have, because of Adam's original sin. We automatically fell there because of what he did. But then the second Adam came, praise God, and he delivered us. He made a way out. But there is no other way. He's it. Another gift he gave us is eternal life. There's no, like I say, there's no way I can go through these, but I'm going to go as far as I can, then we'll just read the other ones. Have you heard the statement? Now you have to listen to me. Have you ever heard the statement that Jesus is the reason for the season? Yeah. All of us have heard that. And that's from man's viewpoint. From man's viewpoint, that's correct. He is the reason we celebrate. He is our life. He is our hope. He is the gift from God to us. We receive that gift. But I've already mentioned in John 1:1 where the first Christmas started, in the heart of God, and it's never finished. From God's angle of view, I'm talking from his angle with that in mind. From God's angle of view, Jesus is not the reason for the season. He is the season, but he's not the reason for it. We are. Mankind is the reason that Jesus came. The salvation of mankind is why he came. That's why he walked his life 33 and a half years in this earth. Every second, every moment was gift to us. That's why he was born in a manger. Because of us. He didn't have to come otherwise. There was no reason for him to come without us. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus. We celebrate Jesus. He is our reason. But he's not God's reason. He's the whole thing, Jesus is. But from God's angle, he gave his only begotten son for us, not for Christmas. He gave it for us. And then he walked all of that life. I appreciate Pastor putting that slide, the open tomb, because you cannot have Christmas without Easter. It's impossible. If there was no Easter, no resurrection, Jesus would be just another man. He'd still be alive because he had eternal life, but we would not be celebrating Christmas because the birth would just be another birth. You cannot celebrate Christmas without Easter. It's not possible. But then again, you can't celebrate Easter without Christmas. There'd have been nobody to die. They're irrevocably joined. His whole life was gift. And that's what Christmas is from God's angle of view. We are the reason for Christmas. You can say that in the wrong place and not explain it, and they'll get mad at you. He is our reason we celebrate, but he's not God's reason for Christmas. We are. So keep that in mind. Maybe that will make a difference in the way we celebrate. If we can get a hold of that statement, maybe it will change the way we celebrate and we give back to our loving Father. John 3:16, we can say in that, this is our proof. John 3:16, Amplified, For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. There's the reason for the season. Right there. He gave us living water as a gift. In John 4:14, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. There's a fountain of life in every one of us here that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is part of the gift that he gave to the world, and it flows through us. He gave us the gift of the living word, which we're talking about now. That's such a gift, the living word, Jesus. The word is alive. He's gave us that gift. He gave us the bread of life. In John 6:47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. See, he's gift. Everything Jesus did was gift. But he did it in obedience to the Father. They are one. So is the Holy Spirit. He gave us the free gift of sonship. Do you know you're a male or female, you're a son of God. You're his relationship. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Behold that. Behold, I'm a child of God. That ought to put a spring in our step. You're a child of God if you know him. It's time that we get excited about that. I wasn't a child of God, but now I am. Praise God. That means something. I'm not a slave. I am a servant, but I'm a son who serves. And there's a big difference between a slave servant and a son servant. I serve because I want to, and so should you. Beloved, now we are the children of God. When? Now. Just say that with me. Now. Now? Is there a now in the house?
Now.
Now, praise God. Now we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. 1 John 4:9, in this love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He gave us the free gift of grace. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to quit here in a few minutes, but so I'll just start reading shortly. The free gift of God's grace, he gave us that. Grace is really unmerited favor. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's happened to you. Not will happen. Has happened. You have been delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but is the gift of God. That is so. God gave us his grace. That doesn't mean I'm partaking of it. He gave it to me. What am I doing with it? A lot of us would have to say nothing. Why? He gave us the free gift of righteousness. Now, this is something you need to hear. The church needs to know this. But I can tell you most of them don't, because they try to do it by works. Born-again people try to work their righteousness. And all righteousness is right standing with God. He took care of that. All I did was come. He made me right. Romans 5:17, for if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We're supposed to reign in this life. A king, what does he do? He declares, and it is. God calls us kings and priests. A priest ministers unto. A king declares. The word says we're both kings and priests unto the Father. We declare unto the Father, and we declare unto the word, unto the world. We're supposed to be telling the enemy what to do, not bowing down and just putting up with it. We're supposed to take authority over those things. That's why we're kings. We declare. The free gift of real freedom. I'm going to start running quickly. The free gift of real freedom. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He made us free, don't go back there. If you go back, that's your fault. Come back again. And drop it. Never give up, never stop. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is God's word. Jesus himself said it in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So that settles it. The word is truth. It's absolute truth, whether I believe it or not. I'm just going to read these and mention the scripture verses and not read the scriptures unless God says otherwise. The free gift of all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If it pertains to your life or pertains to godliness, he's already gave it. What are you doing about it? Receive it. Go to the word. Receive those promises and commandments. Receive them. In Romans 8:32. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? He's not holding back anything. He gave us the free gift of the keys of the kingdom. He gave us those keys. We can unlock or lock up anything. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. But notice who does the binding and loosing. We do. If we're not doing that, then whose fault is it? It's ours. Sometime we got to take a good look at ourselves. He gave us the free gift of the Holy Spirit to abide in us. He's living in us. And with that comes the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They're all already in us. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. He gave us the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can be filled to overflowing with his presence. And then we can take those gifts to the world. He gave us the gifts of the fivefold ministry. Pastor, teacher, evangelist, etc. He gave us those. They are gifts for the maturing of the church, the body of Christ, so that the body can go. We need to have all of the fivefold ministry flowing in our churches. It's sad that many churches only have one or two. But they're available. They're available to the church. It's a gift to the church. And if we don't receive those gifts that God has given us, then we can't function into the fullness that God's created us to function. All of the fivefold ministry are not individual, they're corporate. They require one another. They draw on one another. They're not lone rangers. They actually have to have one another to be in fullness of their own fivefold calling. He has given us the right to use the name of Jesus. He gave us that right. Are we using it? John 14:13 and Mark 16:15. He gave us, and this is a big one, He gave us His very own peace. Jesus gave us His peace. I'm going to read that one because most people don't believe that. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I give and bequeath to you. What is a bequeath? He died. It's a will. He gave it to us presently, and He gave it to us as an inheritance. His peace. Not the peace of the world. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let, because I've given you my peace, then don't do this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now that's God's will. He gave us His peace so that we wouldn't do that. Now if we're functioning in any of those, it says stop. Stop it! Because He gave us His peace. If I'm not at peace, I'm not receiving what He gave. It's His will that I walk in peace. And He paid the price so that we could. Matthew 11:28 also, come unto me, all you labor. He has also given us the right to overcome using the blood and the name. The blood, the name, and the word. That's how we overcome the enemy. He has given us the gift of faith. He's given us the gifts of healing. These are all gifts to us. And He's given us seed to sow. Whether you think so or not, He's given us seed to sow. But along with the seed to sow, He gave us bread to eat so that we wouldn't be eating our seed. How many of us spend our money for things other than the tithe? We're eating our seed. Don't eat your seed. Your tithe unlocks so many benefits from God. It unlocks His hands because tithing is a love gift. He made it a command so that He could get into our finances and work there. If I use my tithe for anything other than that, first fruit, for anything other than that, it hinders God from doing what He's doing. Now, this is not a money message. This is a message about God being able to love you through the tithe. He had to make certain things commandments, otherwise they wouldn't do it. He wanted so much to get in there. He desires so much to move through us. If we don't give Him what He needs to do it, then He can't. Don't eat your seed. That's why He gave us, along with the seed, He gives us bread to eat, so that we don't eat our seed. When you look at how you spend your money, think about the tithe first. And everything else will start falling into place. It's amazing how that changes things. It's something that is not, it's not a question on whether I can afford it or not. It's a statement that I cannot afford not to. So, and it's not a message that the church is saying, give me your money. It's a message that God put in the Word because He wants to be in your finances. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bring healing and all of the other things that are blessing of the tithe. He wants those in your life. But if you don't do what's required, then he can't. He'll do what he can. Okay? There's more here, but that's all the list that I've got. So I wanted to go through all of them, but I'm out of time here. So I pray that this message today has been a message for your heart so that we can see things from a little differently as we go through this Christmas season, that we can see the abundance of the gifts that God gave the church. He gave it to us so that we can enjoy life and have it more abundantly. And they're already, there's not one of you, not a single person alive or will live, that those gifts are not laid up for. They're all available to anyone. Anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. God has given. But the way to bring joy to God's heart is by receiving them and doing something with what he gave. And I'll close with this. Merry, Merry Christmas to all of you. You're the one gift that I cannot replace. You cannot be replaced. You are a gift to me, and I appreciate you so much, every one of you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to share life together today. Thank you for what you've taught us. Thank you for your abundant gifts. There's so many more than I have listed here. There's so much that you want to do and give to your people. Well, Father, through this Christmas season, as we draw closer to the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we thank you so much for giving Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for coming. We thank you that you have the same love the Father has. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being very present with us. You're living in us and with us. We're so thankful. Thank you, Lord. May the blessing of the Lord be upon these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.